We're reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. And if you're reading from the Church Bible, the page numbers are behind me. Matthew 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Well, good morning. Going to look at this passage with you together. Got a cartoon to begin. I'm going to let you read it because it might take you just a minute. All right, see some smiles, a few little nods. Okay, I think everybody's read it. That's great. So I want you to think about this cartoon because I know that when we come to four verses like we come to in Matthew chapter 28, this is probably not the first time that you've heard these verses read. Maybe you read them for yourselves or you heard them preached. And you might have, you know, heard them spoken about in such a way before that you feel a lot like Charlie Brown sometimes when you come to these verses because you say, "Oh man, I just thought that this meant that we should tell other people about Jesus. And now I'm getting a lot more information and I'm feeling maybe a bit overwhelmed. I just thought Jesus wanted us to tell people about him, but now I hear about global missions and unreached people in places far away from home, work, family, and I don't think I can, or that must not be for me, so what does that mean now?" And we get all these kinds of thoughts as we read a passage like this, and that's the sort of understanding that I'd like to focus on this morning, because I, like you, or maybe just me, I feel a bit like Charlie Brown with these. I see duckies and horses here where I should probably be seeing something more complex. So bear with me as well. But let's pause here together and let's look at the words this morning. And let's ask God to help us hear his words today and apply them to our hearts. Let's pray. Gracious God, I pray that you would help us this morning as your people to hear the words from Jesus, to gather at this mountain at his feet, to hear his proclamation of the commission that he gives us as his people, bought by his own blood and loved in his own name. I pray that you would help us to understand these things and by the Holy Spirit do them for his glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as I prayed, let's go back to the mountain because Jesus is here on a mountain as he's speaking to the disciples. The risen, glorious, alive Jesus is speaking to his disciples. This is a magnificent event. Jesus stands speaking to the crowd, and I put forward probably more than the 11 because he says that there are even those who doubted who were there. And so Paul refers to an event in which Jesus appeared to over 500 disciples after his resurrection. This may well be that event. Maybe quite a number here listening to Jesus' words. But here as those words echo across the mountain, let them ring in our hearts, that we would hold on to them. Let us put ourselves in the place of these disciples and let us hear them for the first time, but also let us hear them as if it may be the last time that we hear the words of Jesus spoken on earth. That was their position. This was a sacred moment because he speaks with them and cherish every word they do. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you to the end of the age. Let's consider two things then about this passage. The context of the Great Commission and the content of the Great Commission. The context of the Great Commission and the content of the Great Commission. And so we have in the context what's happening around this particular event. What has Jesus been telling his followers, his disciples? What is he telling us by understanding the context? The context is the how, the where, and the what, or the after what, when Jesus speaks these words in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew 28 here, this was not actually the first commission that Jesus' followers had received. I don't know whether you know that or not. Jesus had also given a commission in Matthew chapter 10 to his disciples, or those who were learning, who were following after Jesus. They had lived with Jesus for 3 years. They had eaten with him. They had stayed where he stayed. They had walked where he walked. They had listened to him as he taught the crowds. They had seen his hands perform miracles, give sight to the blind, even raise the dead. And so, even though it might be obvious that some of the instructions that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 10 were specifically for those disciples in those next couple of weeks as they went out on this sort of mini mission, there's so much of it that brings everything that he is telling them forward and applies it directly to us in the church. Because these passages in Matthew chapter 10 and in Matthew 28, they actually sketch out for us life in the church. Let me sum up for you Matthew chapter 10. If you'd like to open in your Bibles and you can read along there, it's a longer section. I'm going to really sum it up and give it to you in my own words. And so hopefully that will help us out. So in Matthew 10, Jesus tells them to go out. And he gives them some instructions. He says, in a nutshell, stay in Israel for now. Don't go out any farther. You know where you need to go. Go to the towns and villages near where we are. Because I want you to declare truth to the lost sheep around you, the lost sheep of Israel. What does Jesus want them to tell these folks in these villages? He says, tell them that the kingdom of heaven has arrived. He also says, do good to those that you meet. He had given them power to heal and to cleanse in that time and in that day. He also reminds them of something. He talks to them even about the money that they would spend. You know, he says something about their purses. And what he's saying there was, remember, the good news that you've received from me was free when you got it. Make sure it is free when you give it. No strings attached, please. He says also, bless those along the way that bless you, and bless God for those who bless you. Now, that's amazing promises, being that what's actually being shown here is a fulfillment to what God had promised Abraham such a long, long time ago. God said, I will bless those who bless you. And so we see echoes of all of these biblical promises being unfurled, as it were, in these commissions of Jesus. And it won't be any different for Matthew 28. But he continues on. He says, move on from that village if they won't hear you. Move on. He also says something that can be a bit humorous to us, but also deadly serious. He says something like, remember, you're not the top dog. He says, Jesus sends us out. Jesus himself sends us out like sheep among wolves. We are not the top of the food chain. The disciples were not either. And that's why he tells them, and he broadens out as he's broadening these statements, we realize they apply more and more to the church. Because he says, be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. Because Jesus says that kings and nations will not believe, but the Holy Spirit will come and he will help us to speak in those places where you encounter adversity. And he says, even family, the people that you think would love and trust you the most, they will hate you because of me. That's sobering. But in John 16, summing up these teachings, he says this, take heart, dear ones, for I have overcome the world. And so this was his instructions to send out his disciples, his followers, the commission that he gave them. And we need to understand this commission in order to understand and foreground the commission that he gives right at the end of Matthew's gospel before he ascends into heaven. Because Jesus launched a mission. His commission was a mission that continues on to this day. And his mission changed the circumstances through and into the ongoing life of the church. The heart of Jesus for the nations, those that he was sending out his disciples into all the world to go to, is the DNA of the church. And how we worship and how we serve. And that hasn't changed one bit now. Much like the Apollo mission 50 years ago now, right? That Apollo mission has the same moon trajectory as the Artemis missions do today. It's the same destination. And so this mission that God has sent, this mission that he spoke about even to the disciples, the trajectory for the church hasn't changed. It's to the nations. Jesus for the nations. Each and every one of them. Because after Jesus' death and resurrection, he lifts the mission restrictions, the ones that he had put on temporarily, the ones that said, stay in the villages, stay in Israel, stay close. He lifts those restrictions. And he tells them to go out into all the world. That's how the mission progresses in Matthew 28. Because Jesus claims that all authority and in heaven and on earth. He's saying that his disciples will be making disciples in every nation without bounds. This is all a part of his plan. Because the resurrected Jesus rules over all the earth as its king. This was not a surprise either. Isaiah, he had prophesied about it. Do you realize when you read Isaiah 11 what he's talking about? That God will rule over all the earth as king, that Jesus is going to usher all these things to be. He says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as the banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Reminds us of the old hymn, Jesus shall reign, where'er the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretched from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. This is King Jesus. This is his commission. This is the key to understanding his commission, is understanding him. If you ever noticed that Matthew 28, settling back there, it's not the way you would necessarily end a book, is it? Maybe you're an author in the room, and I'm not, so I'll leave this to you. But I don't think this is how you'd end your book. You'd have a proper conclusion to the book. This is not a conclusion. And Matthew doesn't mean it to be. It's as Winston Churchill once said, not referring to Matthew 28, but it fits really well. He says, now this is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. But it is perhaps the end of the beginning. This is how Matthew ends his book. It is the end of the beginning of the mission of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. And so there's two applications I want us to consider before we move to from the context to the content of this. The first is, because of the aim of the Gospels as a whole is to tell the story of God in Jesus Christ, this has ushered in his kingdom, which gives us a new way of life. His kingdom, which has come, gives us a new way of life. And this is not only possible for the believer here and now, possible for the Christian, for the ones who believe in Jesus' name, but it's also mandatory. This new way of life is mandatory for those who follow, keyword, Jesus. The second thing, it isn't just that the church now finds herself doing a few of the things that Jesus' followers did a long, long time ago. We picked up the best of them and we kept those traditions. It isn't like that at all, actually. It's because Jesus has given the church a mission. And that mission has been, again, commissioned by the King. That's why we do it, each and every bit of it. Jesus says, making disciples in all the nations, teaching them all things. All the things is the translation there that I told you. And so we as the church actually have a mission, not just that we mimic a few things that have been done before. But we obey and we trust and we follow in the footsteps of King Jesus, who leads the way. Secondly, the content of the Great Commission. And so the content really is just, what does this say? Again, apologies, Charlie Brown here. I'm looking at duckies and horses, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at words and say, where are the duckies and the horses here? What are we describing? If we go into verse 16, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Let's focus on this word, the words all authority. It follows the logic of the resurrection, actually. If you ever wondered, why in the world does he start with all authority? Well, let's think logically for a minute, if we can. If Jesus is risen, therefore he is Lord. If Jesus is Lord, therefore he claims the nations. If Jesus claims the nations, therefore he sends us to call people to repentance. This is the logical progression of King Jesus and how we follow him. And this section is marked by all the alls. There's lots of alls in this section because it applies to all of us, and it applies to all the nations, and it applies to everything that Jesus taught and commanded. It does say literally there, Jesus says, "Remember all the things I told you, all of them." But remember what the disciples did when they first came. When they heard these words, they worshiped. They worshiped. And so if we worship the risen Savior, we will also move to following the call of that same sending Savior. And so we go from one to another. The central command, though, in all of this, sometimes you hear the focus on go, right? You hear that all the time, go. Like this, you read it, go and make disciples of all the nations. The focus is make disciples of all the nations, and there's three limbs to that tree: going, baptizing, and teaching. So making disciples, three limbs: going, baptizing, and teaching. We make disciples as the central command. We go because that is the means. We baptize because we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, showing that they now, the ones who have heard, are associated, sealed by the good news of Jesus Christ in water. And we teach all that we've commanded, which we've touched on a bit ago. But I'm going to ask you just a very sincere and frank question. How are we involved in such a big task? I go to an old hero of the faith called Francis of Assisi. He had some very wise words. He says this: when you start a task, you start by doing what's necessary. We know what's necessary. Jesus has put it forward. Then we do what's possible, Francis says. And then what happens? Suddenly we find that we're doing the impossible. That was Francis's look on all of life, his outlook, as it were. It is necessary for you and I to be involved in the Great Commission because Jesus has placed us in that position. He's commissioned you and me. As a follower of Jesus, we are this. And so then we do. We go and do that which is possible where we are. Because we have to remember, we are a part of the global church. We are participating members. I know that may seem difficult now because you're listening to me talk, and some of you are writing, some of you are memorizing, some of you are thinking about Charlie Brown, you know, all of those things. But being a part of the global church, following Jesus is being a part of the commission that he has given. We are participating members. That is not a choice. It's mandatory, as we discussed earlier. And we as the church are not alone in that, but we're actually united together in that singular cause. That actually makes it a ton less scary. To live out the Great Commission means that we are calling others to believe in Jesus, and we are calling others to repent from all the nations, from all walks of life, everyone we meet. Now you might say, what does it really mean to call someone to be a disciple? Look at Jesus' life. He spent time with his disciples. He taught Jesus' disciples what he knew. He ate with them. We have a discourse right now going on at CCD. It's called Discipleship Explored. There is no magic formula. We have a meal. It may be good. It may not be that great. Except most of the time I cook it, so that's where the X factor comes in. Trish, if it's really good, Trish made it, so just know that. But we eat together. Then we talk about God's word together. We talk about being committed to Jesus together. We talk about being committed to his church. We share our prayer requests. We share the deep questions of our heart. We talk about how to know and love this Jesus. That is disciple making. And you may say, well, I live in Derby and I have a family and a job. How does the Great Commission apply to me? Well, it applies to us in concentric circles going out from that. And it starts in your family. I know one of the greatest challenges in my life is having a 15-year-old. Not because he's a 15-year-old that's challenging, but I realize that disciple-making, when talking to someone about Jesus, loving someone, it starts right with those members of our family right in our own home. Yeah, I'll take time to go and have coffee with someone in the church, but how often do I sit and have coffee with my son or my daughter or my spouse and talk about Jesus and ask about how their walk is going? And so moving in concentric circles, it starts with the family. And then it goes out into the places that God's called us to work. Many of you work for Rolls-Royce. Everybody that works for Rolls-Royce isn't from Derby. I'm pretty sure about that. I'm not even from Derby. And so God's given you an opportunity to befriend, relationally connect with people globally while living in Derby. And it's an amazing opportunity that God's given you the ability to live out the commission here and now. And that goes out to the global community as well, as we send and support missionaries who truly go cross-culturally, who before the Lord know that God calls and sends. He will do that, by the way. He might lay that on one of your hearts. It doesn't mean that that's absolutely normative for everyone. But it does happen, and we must be involved in it, just as Paul said, please support me as I go to Rome. But he didn't call those when he was in Rome and he was talking about going to Spain, he didn't call them to go with him. He said, support me in this. Support me so I can go. And that's what we do. We support, we pray, we send to fulfill the commission in concentric circles out from where we live. Because it's from Jesus. And he calls us to do so. But as we finish, he gives us one last and most encouraging bit of information. He says in the last verse, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Last year, I had the opportunity to go and tour the Tower of London. Now, I don't know anything much about the Tower of London. It looks like a scary place to me, and all the black birds on the pitches tell me that it's really been a scary place in times past. But you know what? I had this beef eater and all his regalia lead me around and show me all the sights, retelling the sounds. He's somebody who lives there. He knows it. He knows the nook and crannies. Isn't it so encouraging when you have someone who has the power and the authority to be in a place to say, here, let me show you around, let me tell you what to do. Jesus says, when you go out to perform the Great Commission, I'm not sending you out alone, I'm going with you. My power and my authority go with you, church. Jesus is with you when you speak to your family, when you go to work, and when you support global missions. He has not left you alone, and never, ever will. His power and his authority as king will reign. Jesus will reign. Where'er the sun does its successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. This is the commission given by Jesus. Now, church, let us follow him. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask that you would work in our hearts today. Father, that our simple words, that our worship would be acceptable to you. By the Holy Spirit, that you would be with us, teaching us and bringing to mind all that you have taught us. So as your servants, we may follow you until you come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.